Okay, good morning to everyone on this another day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And I am glad in the Lord, rejoicing in Christ our King. And I am glad that he has chosen in his wisdom for us to meet together each Sunday in this season of our lives. We know the season will change, but for now, the Lord has called us together under the umbrella of Jesus's name, and then under the umbrella of the contemporary Bible class. I am glad to see each one of you. Others are still joining in. And I'm glad that they're trying to get in. We have a lot to do today. We have another ambitious study ahead of us, but it's a good word the Lord has for us today. This is the last day of January. January is marching on out of here pretty soon. January the 31st in the year 2021. I greet you in Jesus' name. I am Sister Velma Jean Sanders. Several announcements I'd like to make. It first of all, if we have any new persons, people joining us, we welcome you in the name of Jesus to the Contemporary Bible class. We are glad that you are here. If we have any of our, quote, former members who haven't been with us, classmates who haven't been with us for a while, we are glad that you are back with us. I need to mention that there's always much going on within our class, within the people of our class, in our lives. So we want to regularly keep one another in prayer. And I encourage you to just pray for the Zoom class, pray for your Sunday school class every day. And the Lord knows how to work with that prayer. But we need to pray ye one for another because there are many needs in our class. And each one of us stand in need of something. Each one of us are on this journey from here to glory. And we all need prayer. I need your prayers and you need my prayers. And so we want to pray for one another. We also want to pray for Sister Benny Brightman had a death in her family. And I don't know if Benny's out here with us this morning, but we want to keep her and her family in prayer. We extend our condolences to Sister Brightman. Also, our brother Chandler, who would be right here in our class with us if he could, but he is in the hospital. So we, of course, want to keep Brother Chandler in prayer that the Lord would touch and restore his health. There are other situations. Some of you are going through deep trials and troubled waters right now. So we keep you in prayer. And others are in a season of rejoicing, but you still need prayer as well. So we just want to pray ye one for another. And that is in line with our scripture passage that we have been studying for the last several weeks, which is found in Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. And today will be our concluding study on this passage. Well, let's go to our Father in prayer. Blessed God, our Father, our Father. Our Father, God, the Almighty God, we come before you, before the throne of grace, with a bowed down head and an humble heart. And we lift up praises and adoration to you, God, great God. You are worthy, eternally worthy to be praised. And we want to offer, and we do offer unto you our praises as well as our thanksgiving. We praise you for who you are, and then we thank you for all that you have done. We thank you for keeping us through another week and for ushering us in by grace into a brand new week and into a brand new day where you met us with brand new mercies. And for that, Lord, we are thankful. We ask you now to bless our study together as we sit at your feet, as we sit at Jesus's feet to hear the words of our Lord. We ask you to anoint us, Lord, that we might hear what the Spirit is still saying, even today, to the church. We pray for one another and for all the needs in the class, Lord. Every one of us stand in need of prayer. And so we pray one for another, Lord, and we thank you that you care for us. We especially remember in prayer during this season Sister Benny Brightman and her family, and we ask you, Lord God, to give comfort as only you can in the hour of bereavement. And then we lift up Brother Chandler, who would be with us this morning. He would be right here on Zoom this morning if he could, but right now he can't. But we thank you and we praise you that you are there with him. We thank you that you are God, ever present, and nothing separates us from your love. And so we pray a special prayer of healing and restoration to Brother Chandler. And we ask you as a class, Lord, for healing in his body. We ask you as a class to bring him back to our class, Lord, that you might be glorified and that you might be praised. And now, Father, lead us now in our study, and may we be the better and more like you for meeting together this morning. We pray this and much more. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Well, we're going to continue now in our study from Luke chapter 11, verses, our particular verse this morning is verses this morning are verses 5 through 13. Luke chapter 11, verses 5 through 13. This you will see, some of you have read this passage, others may have not, have never read it. Most of us have probably heard something from this passage of scripture. Well, this is a beautiful passage of the Bible, and we are glad, and we will be even more glad after our study today, that Jesus will told us these things that are found in verses 5 through 13. It is a loving passage. It is a passage of encouragement. It is a passage where the Lord invites us and encourages us to pray and pray again. It is a beautiful passage because it is a passage of love and concern. And we can see the love of a friend, but we can see the love of a father, and then the love of Jesus that he would tell us when he first started telling us how to pray. In verse 2, Jesus told us to pray, when you pray, say, Our Father. And so Jesus gives us a right to call God the Father, our Father. And so this passage in 5 through 13 is a passage of love and care. It is also a passage of instruction still in prayer. That's how Luke chapter 11 starts out in verse 1, where Jesus is praying. When he finished praying, one of the disciples had a request, and he asked the Lord, Lord, teach us to pray. That's in chapter 11, verse 1. And then Jesus immediately answers that request, and he teaches them and us how to pray. He first of all tells us when we pray, address Father, and then come to him as a community, the community of faith, the body of Christ. There's a time to pray individually, and we will see that in verses 5 through 13. Those are individual prayers where you're praying for yourself, or perhaps on the where you're praying for someone else. But first of all, he tells us to come to the Lord as members of Christ's body, saying, Our Father in heaven. And then first of all, in prayer, we always want to put God first. God is first. We are to love him with all our hearts, our minds, our souls, our strength. God first. His name, his kingdom, his will. And then Jesus went on teaching us how to pray. In verse 3, what to pray, he tells us as well, pray for your daily needs, that God would give us day by day our daily bread. And then the remainder of what we call the Lord's Prayer in verse 4 is talking about sin and temptation in some way. First of all, we ask the Lord to forgive us of our sins as we forgive others. And then the remainder of the Lord's Prayer, as it is given in Luke, is not only forgive us of our sins, but keep us from sinning. And that's what the last part of this is about. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So first we pray, Lord, forgive me of my sins. But then we turn around and we say, Lord, keep me from sin. Do not lead me into temptation. Don't let me be overcome by any sin. Give me the grace to endure and give me the grace to escape falling into sin. Deliver me from evil. And now in verse 5, and we see just a little bit of black print there. If you have a red letter Bible, there's a few words in black print. And we know that's Luke, the narrator. And now Luke, the narrator, kind of says, now we're going to somewhat turn. We're still talking about prayer, but there's a little shift here. And it says in verse 5, let's read this passage. I'll read, and I encourage you to just follow along. I am reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. Good morning to those who have just joined us. Luke chapter 11, beginning at verse 5, New King James. And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer him from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And we say amen to the word of the Lord. And we are grateful, so grateful that Jesus gave us these words, how to pray. Now, he has previously just told us what to pray. He told us to pray, hallowed be God's name, the Father, his kingdom come, his will be done. We are to pray those words or some form of those words. We are to pray, give us day by day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. We forgive everyone who's indebted to us. Do not lead us into temptation. Deliver us from the evil, from evil or the evil one. Jesus has told us what to pray. Now he's going to tell us how to pray. And we're going to see there's many ways here, right here in this passage, starting at verse 5, how to pray. Now, I wrote down a few things because I've been studying in this passage, and I hope you all are studying ahead of class as well. If you're not studying ahead, that's fine, but I encourage you even after class today to ponder, to meditate, to chew, and to appropriate what we are learning in class. We do not just want to be hearers of the word, but we also want to be doers of the word. So if there's anything that we should be doing after all these weeks, we should be praying, and we should be praying more. Our prayers should have been in some way even maybe adjusted, becoming more informed into how Jesus has told us what to pray and now how to pray. Well, in this passage of verse 5 through 13, we're going to see how to pray. Well, how do we pray? Well, we are to pray boldly. And that is also in Hebrews chapter 4, where it says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. And so that we will see that there's boldness at work in this prayer. Now, in our boldness in approaching God, we still hallow his name. We can be bold before God, but we still always remain reverent to God, reverent towards God. And above all, we pray his will be done. We pray for his kingdom to come. We pray for his name to be hallowed. But we can still pray boldly before God. We don't have to come before God with ashamed. We don't have to come before him with trembling. We don't have to. He is our loving heavenly Father. We do fear him in the respect of reverence, knowing that he is holy, holy, holy. But still, we can come before him boldly, just like this man did that we're going to study more about in this passage, beginning in verse 5. And so we come before God boldly, and we come before him unashamedly. How else will we see how we're supposed to come before God? We're supposed to come before him persistently. Don't give up. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Follow through in prayer. And that asking may last a long time. It could be all day. It could be all week. It could be all month. And it could even go on for years. But you keep on. Follow through in prayer. That is one thing that this passage wants us to know. Follow through. Follow through in prayer until the Holy Spirit lets you know you don't have to pray about it anymore. Or the Holy Spirit will let you know, keep on praying. But pray until you get an answer. Pray until you receive whatever that answer may be. And so this is a prayer, this instruction that Jesus has given us. He tells us to be persistent. We're also going to see in this passage, pray without reservation. Pray for what you need. Pray for what you want. God already knows the desires of our hearts. Pray without reservation. In this passage, it tells us more than once. The word ask is in this passage many times. It first appears in verse 9, ask. And then we see when we go on down to verse 11, ask. Now, we all know about asking. That's something we didn't have to be taught either, is how to ask on a natural basis, but we need to learn more how to ask God. And so ask is a word that is predominant in this passage. It is in verse 9, ask. In verse 10, ask. In verse 11, ask and ask again. In verse 12, ask. And then the passage ends in verse 13, ask. And so we can see here, ask is predominant. And even when it says in verse 9, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be open. When you take the first letter of ask, take the first letter of seek, take the first letter of knock, and you have ask again. And so ask and ask again. That's one thing. And I'm so glad that the Lord told us we can keep on asking, because some of these askings go on for years. There are things that I have been praying about, and I have been praying about them, about loved ones and situations for years. But the Lord tells us to ask and ask again. We're also going to see in this passage, with the time we have, what a friend is all about. We're going to learn something about friendship in this passage. We'll see that's another predominant word in the passage is the word friend. It starts out in verse 5, where it says, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey. And then it goes on, and we go on down to verse 8, and verse 8 says, I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend. And so we're going to learn something about friends in this passage. We're going to learn the limitations of human friends, even though we are friends. I'm looking at some of my, what I call friends. You all indeed are my friends. Some are closer than others. We do have friends. Everyone out here has someone who they call a friend. But friends have limitations. But if it's truly human friends, there are limitations to human friends and friendship. But being friends, there are responsibilities as a friend. And that is also in this passage. And we'll find out there is not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. Even the best of human friends cannot match up to Jesus Christ as our friend. That is in this passage. We'll also see in this passage, and I'm giving you these things because I already know we're going to run out of time, but I want to give you these different things in this passage already from the beginning. So as you ponder, you will be able to see them more, and God will also show you other things. We see that there's the relationship of friendship is in here, but also the relationship of fathers. This friend, the first illustration here is about friends. But then when we go on down to verse 11, now we see it shifts from friends to father. It's going from lower to higher, from friends to father. And the word father becomes a predominant word here. And the father, well, that word father is in verse 11. And then in verse 13, capital L, father, heavenly father, whereas verse 11 starts out with human fathers. And there's a comparison there. There's a contrast between friends and father, and also a comparison between friends and fathers. We also see in this passage, praying for others. That's how this started out in verse 5, where a person, a friend, went to someone else on behalf of his friend. And so we pray for our friends. That is part of being a friend. You know, if you have a friend, a Christian, and you have a friend, and they don't pray for you, well, that's another kind of friend. I need friends that know how to pray and pray for Velma. And you all need those kind of friends as well. So that's in this passage. Also in this passage is some things happen suddenly. And things in life happen unexpectedly. And things in life happen where it catches you unprepared. That's in this first part of the passage where something happened suddenly, caught you off guard and unprepared. Then we see in the last part of this passage, you all seen this a lot in God's word. God's word is full. It's a full living word of God. Nothing shallow about any word of God's word. It is full. It is rich. It is deep and it is high. And so also in this passage, we pray for others, but also we pray for ourselves. That is in this passage, beginning in verse 11 and also in verse 9, where Jesus says, I say to you, ask. But in verse 11 now, where it talks about a father and a son, father and child, where you pray for yourself, going to God the Father, asking for your own individual needs. And then the last thing I would say is in this passage is be specific. There are specific requests in this passage. For example, now let's go back in verse 5, where it says, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, here's the specificness, friend, lend me 3 loaves. So that is a very specific request. And he asked for he didn't just say, give me some food. He was specific. And he said exactly what he want. Lend me 3 loaves. And so there's a lot we can see in 5 through 13. That is an overview of the passage. Now let's look at it in outline form. You all know I like to give outlines. And if you've been with me any length of time, we need to portion off our food. We have just put our food on the plate and we've been looking at our food. We've been looking all around at everything on our plate. Now we're going to portion it off in outline form. Well, verses 5 through 13, well, first of all, beginning at verse 1 through 13, the heading of it all is prayer. That's over all of it is prayer. But then when we get to verse 5 through 13, we're seeing this passage that there are two parables, or we could say two illustrations. Two illustrations are two parables. Now, first of all, in verse 5, parable number 1, or it's illustration number 1, and that goes from verses 5 through verse 8. It's illustration parable number 1. And it's the parable, my Bible says, parable of the persistent friend. Then when you get to verse 9, now you have practical application. Jesus tells the story, the parable, in verses 5 through 8. And now when we get to verse 9, practical application. What are we to learn about the parable, about the story that he just told? And so then we go on to verse 11. And in verse 11, here's story number 2, illustration number 2, parable number 2. And my Bible titles it Parable of Fatherhood. Parable of Fatherhood. And that parable is in verses 11 and 12. And then in verse 13, here's the practical application. Here's what the Lord has wanted. The lesson for us is in verse 13. And so this passage in 5 through 13 is seesaws. It's seesawing like ping pong. It's going back and forth. It's a parable, hit the ball, parable. Then it goes to the other side, application. Hit the ball back, parable, another parable. Hit it back, application. And so it's parable, it's application. And this whole passage that we've been studying on prayer, is booked in by the word Father, our Father. That's how it started in verse 2, our Father in heaven. And that's how it ends in verse 13, your heavenly Father. And so that's the book end is Father. Now let's look at this first parable. Parable number 1 in verse 5. Let's tell the story. We're going to, verse 5 here, a question is asked. And Jesus here, he's given this illustration. The question you can see, it's a long sentence when you look at it. And when you get to verse 7, there's the question mark in New King James. There's the question mark. It ends in verse, is this question mark in verse 7. But the question started in verse 5. So it's a long sentence. And Jesus says, which of you? Now they've asked him, one asked him, teach us how to pray. And Jesus now going on telling them how to pray. Which of you, now let's put ourselves in the situation, let's be that you. And Jesus says, which of you shall have a friend? And so now you need to get in your mind a friend. And everybody out here has someone they call a friend. So which of you, that's character number 1, is you, shall have a friend? That's character number 2, your friend, all right? So which of you shall have a friend? And go to your friend at midnight and say to your friend, friend, that's how he addressed him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. You all got the picture? Now, when you look at this, now there's the culture and the custom of that day where they traveled during the night and all of that because it was cooler. Yes, that's the part of the culture. But even at that, coming at midnight is unexpected. So this here, the illustration, the parable here, which of you shall have a friend and you go to him at midnight. Now at midnight is an unexpected time. I have some friends. I'm looking at some of my friends out here on Zoom this morning. And my friends, I pause there because I'm thinking, if my friend came to me at midnight and said, lend me 3 loaves, because that's what happened. The friend came at midnight. So the midnight is what? It is an unexpected time. It is an unexpected hour. At midnight, just normally speaking, you are in bed, you are relaxed, maybe even sleep at midnight. And so this happens. The friend goes to another friend, asks the friend to lend me. And that's important that he said, lend me. So that lets us know he intended on giving the friend back what he asked for. So he goes to his friend at midnight and says, lend me 3 loaves. But now he gives the reasons. He justifies it. He gives the reason. He's just not knocking on his door at an inconvenient hour to be a nuisance. There is a valid reason that he is going to his friend at midnight. And then he tells them, he explains why he would wake that man up at midnight. He says in verse 6, for a friend of mine, here's character number 3. And see, we got these friends, there's 3 people here, 3 men. First of all, there's which of you, that's character number 1, shall have a friend. That's the man who came to the man's house. Which of you shall have a friend? Wait a minute, let me say this right. Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight? So that would be, we'll say, the neighbor, the friend, the one you're going to at midnight to ask for a loan. Then the third character in verse 6 is, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. Okay, so that's the 3 characters. And so a friend shows up at your house. Now you have to put yourself in the role of each of these characters. You, during the week, make yourself the friend that goes to a friend. And then also make yourself the friend that shows up at midnight. Because each of these roles can be us in life. And so this friend, now these are friends, okay? And we'll see here, one goes to a friend on behalf of someone else. The third friend here, the one that showed up at the door at midnight, the one who was traveling, he didn't know the other man. He didn't know him. But this one friend had a friend that the other friend didn't know. Lord, help me to teach this. In other words, I know people that you don't know. You know people I don't know. And some of those people I don't know, but you know them, but you care for them. And so you ask them, as your friend, lend me 3 loaves, for I have a friend. Let me give a clear illustration here. Now, Brother Chandler, I'm going to use him as an example. Well, some of you who have been in class with us for weeks and you have a camera, you have seen Brother Chandler on Zoom. And you probably would not consider him a friend because some of you don't even know him. You just may see him on Zoom, but others do not. But there are some out here that call Brother Chandler a friend. And those who called him a friend go to others that know how to pray. And they say, on behalf of their friend who has a need, pray for my friend. I have someone who showed up at midnight. He's hungry, he's tired, and I have nothing. See, that's the problem here in verse 6. When the need came at midnight, the man said, I have nothing to set before him. He didn't go to the store. He wasn't prepared. Maybe he was going to go to the grocery store the following day. Maybe he was going to restock the cupboard later. But when this friend showed up at midnight, he had nothing. But because of his love for his friend, that's part of being a friend, is you have care for your friends. You have love for your friends. There is an affection for your friend. And if your friend has a need and you can meet it, you meet that need. And if you can't meet that need, you find a way to help your friend. And that's what this man did. When this man who was traveling showed up at his friend's house at midnight, well, he didn't have the food to give him, but he went to his friend. Now, when we keep going here in verse 7, let me read again at verse 5, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. Okay, so that's the man talking. Well, here comes the response of the friend. Here comes the response of the friend. And the friend says in verse 7, and he will answer him from within and say to him, do not trouble me. That's first. Then he says, the door is now shut. That's second. Then he says, and my children are with me in bed. That's third. Then he says, I cannot rise and give to you. That's fourth. And we would all say, boy, that's some kind of a friend. And it is a friend. It was his friend. But it's the limitations of human friendship. Because God, Jesus, is a friend that sticks closer than any brother. There is a friend that sticks closer than a brother, and that friend is Jesus. However, God has given us human friends. And so he goes to his friend, knocks at midnight. He's outside the door, so he has to lift his voice so the man can hear him. And he says to the man, I have a friend that came to me on a journey. I have nothing to give him. And the man who's in bed on the inside, it says he will answer from within. So he never even opened the door. He didn't open the door there. He gives him excuses. And we could say they're legitimate excuses. But he first of all says, don't trouble me. Now, when we think of human friendship, because we've all experienced this in some way, we have experienced a midnight call, maybe from a friend. And those of us who have been friends with one another through the years, there have been, quote, midnight calls where you had to call a friend, where you had to say, I can remember, and I'm using the illustration of one of my friends who's on Zoom this morning, where my family, my mother and I had to call, quote, a friend to go see about my brother at an inconvenient hour on a cold winter day because something had happened to his car on the interstate. And we had to call a friend because I couldn't do it. You all knew I couldn't do that. We needed a friend. And we went to that friend at an unexpected midnight hour. And I'm sure the friends came through. The friends came through. Praise the Lord. They came through. And if they're in class with us this morning, it's a husband and a wife couple. They know what I'm talking about. But when these things come up at an inconvenient midnight hour, well, some of us, when you think about friends and friendship, this is just human nature. This we can understand. Now, keep in mind, Jesus has given us an illustration here. He's given us a parable here. And he's kind of, on one hand, he's, I'm going to use the word stretching, making this point that he's going to make. So the friend says in verse 7, don't trouble me. Well, there's been times with our friends. Well, we couldn't answer the phone. Our friend called, but we couldn't answer the phone. Why not? Because we were busy, because we were exhausted, because we didn't hear the phone ring, because we couldn't find the phone. Or else you say, I'll call her back. Okay? And those are friends. So this friend, they're still friends. Even though this friend says, don't trouble me, it is talking about human friendship. But we're going to see it's going to work out all right because friends are going to be friends. God's going to work it out. So this friend says, don't trouble me. then he says the door is now shut. I mean, he's fortifying his excuses. The door is now shut. And you know how it is when you crawled up in the bed and you good and comfortable and this midnight call comes. And think about your midnight crisis and then others who have come to you at midnight. Now, when I say midnight, that midnight is a good illustration. That's what Jesus told us is midnight. But that midnight is illustrative of an inconvenient time. It is a time that you're unprepared and inconvenience, totally inconvenience. And things happen to us at midnight. It could be, now that midnight could be 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock a.m. or whatever, but it happens at midnight. You can get sick in the middle of the night and have to call a friend. That could happen. It could be a loved one that has an emergency and you have to go to a friend and ask them, per se, give me 3 loaves. Or it could be something like a furnace breaking in the middle of the night on a cold winter day. It could be all kinds of things that happen at midnight where you will be the one that has to go to someone else. Or you could be the one that someone comes to you. And so this friend, verse 7, he gives these excuses, I will say, for lack of a better word. And he says, don't trouble me. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. That's what he said. I cannot rise and give to you. So in other words, this friend said no. He did not say, I don't have the bread. He had the bread. He didn't say I didn't have it. What he said is, I can't give it to you. And this is where we need to follow through. Follow through in prayer. Follow through. Don't give up, because we know God, our God, and Jesus, who called us friends. You do know Jesus called us friends. And let's look at that. I'm going to go to a couple of passages where Jesus is our friend. He is that friend that sticks closer than a brother. He is that friend that there's no friend like the lowly Jesus. First of all, Jesus is illustrated as our friend in the Song of Solomon. So let's go to the Song of Solomon. And that's back in those poetry books in the Old Testament, where you have Psalms and then you have Proverbs. Then you have Ecclesiastes, and then you have Song of Solomon. And this is Song of Solomon. The whole book of Song of Solomon is a parable, is a love story, is a song, the Song of Solomon. And in the Song of Solomon, chapter 5, in the Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 16, and the Shulamite, which was the woman in the passage, representative of us, could be us, the woman is praising her Lord, praising her love. And she says in verse 16, that we'll find out here, verse 16 says, Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 16, his mouth is most sweet. Yes, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. And so the Shulamite is calling Solomon here her friend, her friend. And so Jesus is our friend. But Jesus calls us friends. And we want to see, where does Jesus call us friends? Well, let's go to John chapter 15, the book of John, chapter 15, verse 13. And we know where John is, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 15, Jesus calls us friends. And we see in John chapter 15, beginning at verse 13, John chapter 15, beginning at verse 13, where Jesus himself calls us friends. He says in John 15, verse 13, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends. Qualification. If you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. And so there we see in that passage three times where Jesus calls us friends, and he lets us know that he laid down his life for his friends. So the man in Luke just wanted three loaves. But we have a friend in Jesus that laid down his life. He laid down his life for us. There's not a friend like Jesus. And then Jesus says here in verse 14, you are my friends. And some friendships are deeper than others because of time, because of experience and different things, because of different testings of friendships. And our friendship, we want a good, strong friendship with Jesus. And it becomes stronger on our part as we keep his commandments. And then Jesus lets us know in verse 15 that he calls us friends. Let's go back to Luke because time is moving on. And so Luke here, we see this dynamic of friends working. And in verse 7, this human friend gives these excuses. He was still his friends, but he's a human being, and human beings have limitations. But the other man who was a friend did not give up. He kept on asking. And so verse 8 says, Jesus is talking, and he says, I say to you, here comes practical application, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. In other words, that man knocked on that door. That man went seeking for bread. That friend, he asked for three loaves. The man who had the three loaves said no. But the friend did what? He kept on knocking, and he kept on saying, and by this time, maybe the neighbors are waking up. Who's that knocking on the door, talking about bread? And the man is saying, he's the word persistence here, the old King James uses the word importunity. And I like that word importunity because it means ask to the point of no shame. It means ask without holding back nothing. Ask, don't care nothing about being embarrassed. And so importunity means ask if you have to wake up the whole neighborhood. And so this man kept asking for that bread. And what happened? What happened was, in order for the man to get some rest, he got up and gave his friend what he needed. That is some kind of friend. So in verse 8, it says, I say to you, that's to all of us, though this human friend will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. And so we want to keep on and follow through in our prayers. But let me say this, the parables are given to give an illustration, but you can't make each and every point always neatly fit, because Jesus, he is our friend. He calls us friends. But let me say this, there's never any time in scripture where we see anyone addressing Jesus as friend. They don't come up to Jesus and say, hey, friend. Nobody ever comes to Jesus and say, hey, friend. But he calls us friend. And we have songs about friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. And I printed out those lyrics last night. What a friend we have in Jesus. You all know the lyrics. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. And I encourage you to read all those lyrics this week And if you have a computer, pull them up. If you have a hymnal, look up those lyrics. There is no friend like Jesus. Jesus is our friend. He is not reluctant. Now, this is where the parable, you know, you just have to take it as given a point. Because Jesus is not reluctant. Jesus does not say, go away. Jesus does not say to us, I cannot rise. Jesus does not say, do not trouble me. We never see Jesus or the Father saying, don't trouble me. You'll never hear Jesus or the Father say, well, I can't pick up the phone right now because I'm busy. I can't find my phone. I'll get back to her or him later. You never see that with Jesus because he is that perfect friend. He is that friend that we can assess any time of any day with any situation and any problem. That's the perfect friend is Jesus. Well, in our remaining 5 minutes, Jesus says unto us in verse 9, so I say to you, ask, and I have that pretty good with asking. That is not one of my weaknesses. And I know how to keep asking, but keep asking. And then the promise is, and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. So ask and keep asking until you get. Seek and keep seeking until you find. Knock and keep knocking until it's open. And you notice here in verse 10, everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be open. And there are time elements in this. You got to wait. Usually there's a waiting period. Because it says in verse 9, ask, and it will be given. But it didn't say when. It did not say when. But ask, and keep asking, and it will be given. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. And let's go. We have 3 minutes, but it's worth us going to. Let's go to Daniel in our last 3 minutes here. Daniel chapter 10. Now, Daniel, book of prophecy, is right after Ezekiel. So it's Isaiah, Jeremiah, I believe. Yeah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and then Daniel. Lamentations comes in there. So where is Ezekiel? Ezekiel is after Lamentations. Jeremiah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel.
Ezekiel and Daniel.
And when we go to Ezekiel chapter 10, let's go to Ezekiel chapter 10 quickly.
Daniel.
I do want to, everyone, make sure you're on mute or be aware we can hear you. So Ezekiel chapter 10, and classes are being recorded. So just be aware of that. Ezekiel chapter, Daniel. Daniel, which is after Ezekiel. Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10. And in Daniel chapter 10, Daniel, we see in the first part of Daniel, Daniel chapter 10, verse 2. And Daniel says, I was mourning for 3 full weeks. In other words, Daniel has set aside a time of retreat with the Lord. Daniel has set aside a time of prayer and a time of fasting. And he did it for 3 full weeks. He ate no pleasant food, no meat or no wine came into his mouth. He did not anoint himself till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. So Daniel is seeking God. Daniel is praying. Daniel is fasting for 3 full weeks. And then when we go to verse 10 in our last minute, verse 10 says, suddenly a hand touched me. And let's go on down because of time. Verse 12. Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. In other words, the minute Daniel asked, God heard it. The prayer was heard. That's what is going on in this passage. But he had to keep asking and he had to keep praying because there was some warfare going on in heavenly places. And so in our last minute, Father, we come before you in Jesus' name. And we thank you that you called us friends and you told us to ask, seek, and knock. We thank you and we praise you. You are our friend. We thank you for calling us friends. And we thank you that you are our loving Heavenly Father. And we end now this passage of scripture saying, thank you. We ask you to refine and purify our prayers. Help us to be more perfect in our prayers, Lord. And help us to go to you as Father and approach Jesus as our friend. And we'll be careful to give your name the praise forever. I ask you to keep us all in your care until we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen. Awesome.
Amen.
That's the class.
Amen.
For the
Amen.
Day.
Beautiful.
Praise
class.
The Lord.
Thank you, Sister Velma. We love you.
Thank you.
Everyone have a blessed week.
Yes, everyone have a blessed week.
Yes. And next week we go on to the next passage. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, help us to be good
Thank
friends.
Thank you, Velma.
Thank you, Sister Sonia.
Thank you, Velma, from Sonia. And everybody have a safe week.
You as well, Sonia.
Thank you.
You as well.
Mm-hmm. I see hands waving. Mm-hmm. Time is pushing us out of here.
Okay.
God bless
Love
everyone.
You.
Thank you for being friends.
Bless you too, teacher.
Bless you as well, Sister Cole. We got our song to sing for this week. What a friend we have in Jesus. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
What a friend.
Amen.
I'll go down to the place.
God bless everyone. I hope to see you next week. Keep me in prayer and I'll be praying for you.